Hey, before we get started, gotta go ahead and pay the bills around here. Go ahead and do me a quick favor. I've got two books out. I know, you're probably thinking if this is the first time you've heard of me or the first time you've actually heard me in a while. My God, Remso can read? Yeah, I can read and write. And if you're my ninth grade English teacher, guess what? I can do it in freaking English too. Because unlike my name, all I know is English. Oh, blowing your mind and blow the minds of those around you with my two books, Stay Away from the Libertarians, as well as my newest novel, How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship. Those are, I gotta go for the shorter titles. Stay Away from the Libertarians and How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship. Available on my website, rwmartinez.com, as well as Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. Check them out. How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship and Stay Away from the Libertarians. Available. Well, you know how the internet works. You can go ahead and find it yourself. Pick them up today in print and digital and help support the show. And, Hey, I like making money. I'm not gonna say no. Everything comes back here. Help me out. Buy my books. That's all. That's about it. Move with the rhythm. Shake it up. Stop when the clock hits 13. You've been working, but you're flirting with the weekend. You can freak out. One in a million. You're a gem shine when the light grows dim. Sing 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it. Okay, so we're sitting down at the dining room table. Mom has this great spread of food out for us. She made burger sliders using King's Hawaiian bread. We had some homemade nachos. My brother Ryan and my father went out and got out a couple last-minute boxes of pizza from Little Caesars before the massive Super Bowl rush came. And it's, it's one of those moments where, you know, we just really remember, oh, this is why we, a non-sports family, like the Super Bowl. And we're watching the coin toss and everything else. And at this point, like, we haven't actually spoken about really anything related to the game. We don't even know what team everyone is kind of going for. So we all start talking about, you know, the very little information that we were able to gather from not having watched this past season. And my dad's like, okay, I think I'm for the Chiefs. And, you know, somebody else is like, oh, I'm for the 49ers. And then they get to me and I'm like, ah, well, I just hope both teams have fun. Everyone seemed to get a good laugh out of that. I'm not a football person. I like to watch the Super Bowl. I'm more of a baseball person, much more of an Orioles fan. For football, I like the Ravens. So, yeah, I guess both Baltimore teams. Mostly, by the time you're hearing this, it's Monday. But most of my day consisted of getting to work from home. I got to work from home today and catching up on probably my favorite series that, I mean, I cannot get enough of. Star Wars Rebels. I've been binging on Disney Plus for the past month like a freaking maniac. And let me tell you, I'm in love with this show. But before we get any further, I'm Remso W. Martinez. Thank you once again for tuning into the Remso Martinez Experience. Go ahead and follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Hey Remso. That's HEYREMSO, Hey Remso. Follow me there for more fun times. But I want to get into today's episode. So yeah, I mean, I'm almost done with the series. I'm on season 4, and let me tell you, at the beginning of the show, you know, back in episode 1, first couple episodes of the first season, I was kind of like, ah, this show's kind of like for little kids and stuff. I'm watching it because I know it's Star Wars canon, and I'm trying to catch up with a lot of things right now, so I want to get up to date with my, Star Wars knowledge. But let me tell you, this show, in a very short amount of time, has really grown on me. It is probably the best animated series I have watched since Avatar The Last Airbender. And Avatar started much like this. And I think, you know, everyone who likes both shows really has to thank David Filoni. He was the guy who worked on Avatar The Last Airbender, and then Disney swooped him up, and now he's been working on this. And, I mean, this is a show that really kind of grows up with its audience, but it's got so much heart to it. And if you're even a, I consider myself more of a casual Star Wars fan. I love Star Wars. I know a lot of, you know, the ins and outs of it, but, you know, compared to some of the more religious Star Wars people I know, I'm much more of a casual person. But this show has really not only made me really fall in love with a franchise I've been really critical of. We've done episodes about, you know, The Last Jedi and other stuff over the last couple of years on the podcast, but this is the one show where I really have to say I found almost no flaws with it. And this is coming from somebody that I'm not a big fan of the Clone Wars TV show that was originally on Cartoon Network. I think after this, because I'm going to have a bit of a void in my life since I also finished The Mandalorian, which I think is the best TV show of the last several years, just completely. If you have not seen The Mandalorian, you need to get Disney Plus just to see The Mandalorian. But we've got the Obi-Wan show that's coming out in about a year. So I want to make sure that I can kind of keep coasting on this before I jump back over to Star Trek to watch Picard. I'm going to wait for the first season of Picard for Star Trek to end before I jump on that. But I'm really lucky because season 7 of The Clone Wars, which will be the final season of the series, which has been canceled, then it was brought back for a little bit because Disney threw some lost seasons over to Netflix, and now they're finally gonna close the whole Clone Wars saga. So I'm probably gonna start the Clone Wars over, and who knows, my opinion might change about that. I was a kid when the Clone Wars the series came out, and I it didn't do it for me. It really didn't. But you know, the real thing I want to talk about today are some of the lessons that I think the audience can glean from Rebels specifically. And luckily, I was able to actually find this article. It's a couple years old, but then again, I'm the person who's catching up with this. I'm the type of person that I either jump on a series from the beginning and watch it all the way through, or I'll wait for a certain series I hear is really good to end, and then I'll jump on it. That's why I wasn't Breaking Bad and other stuff. So this article comes from 2015. It's over at StarWars.com. It's a fan blog. And the article is 5 Life Lessons from Star Wars Rebels. Discover the wisdom within a grumpy astromech droid and more. And, you know, Star Wars is one of those series where there's so much philosophy, there's so much debate over a lot of the more existential, philosophical questions throughout the series. There were many ways that I could come at this, but I wanted to just focus on Star Wars Rebels specifically. And this is a show which, I mean, it follows a whole chorus of characters they're all different. You have a young Mandalorian who's different than other Mandalorians. You have a street scavenger. You've got a Jedi Padawan with a chip on his shoulder. You have a pilot who's kind of like the mom of the group. Then you have a angry Lasat creature who's just mean as all hell. Then you have a droid which doesn't even act like other droids. I mean, it's like any other team where it's like these people aren't meant to work together. They're not meant to seem like a family, but they end up doing it because they learn to accept each other, they respect each other, and they have a common purpose. This is this is as old as time, going back to Star Wars A New Hope, where you had Han, Luke, and Leia, and Chewbacca, and C-3PO, and Ben Kenobi, and R2-D2. This goes back all the way to freaking Lord of the Rings. It's how these group dynamics work, and they develop all these characters so amazingly. I just can't get enough of the show. But I want to go ahead and jump through some of the lessons. I'm going to post a link to the article in the show notes because I'm going to kind of go off on... So here's the thing. Like, I agree with all the lessons. I'm just coming at it from a different point. And when you read this article, you'll realize that they're only really talking about the first couple of seasons of Rebels. And by now, I'm almost done with the series. So I'm going to change a few things. There will be spoilers, if you haven't already picked up on that. I'm going to spoil a whole lot of things. So consider yourself warned. But, you know, the one thing that I did kind of touch on, this is the first point that they mention on this list, better together. What you see is that everyone on this team, they're all strong individuals. They were all leaders on their own right. You have Sabine, who's the Mandalorian, who was a big tech expert, weapons expert. She doesn't need anyone to tell her how smart she is. Everyone already knows how smart she is. She knows how smart she is. You've got Hera, the pilot of the crew, who really is kind of like the spiritual leader of it. Then you've got Kanan, who's a Jedi, and everyone respects the Jedi, except Kanan, when he was, you know, after the Clone War, I mean, he was still a Padawan, his master's dead. He never really got to transition to anything beyond really a student. And then you have, I'm trying to remember the other guy's name. Zeb, yeah, Zeb, the big purple Lasat creature with an Australian accent. He was the commander of the Honor Guard. Like, all these people are alphas. And the thing that anyone knows is when you have a bunch of alphas in the room together, when you have a lot of chiefs in the room and there are no Indians, you're going to have problems. So then when Ezra, the main character of the show, the kid kind of gets into the mix. I mean, he's a loner. He's a smartass. He does his own thing. The thing about this situation is that all of them are together and they're willing to make compromises with each other to work with each other because they understand that they're obviously effective, but they're only effective to a certain point. I learned this very early on after high school joining the military. I was not the most confident person, but I kind of, listen, I'm not saying I was more than capable, but I knew how to identify a challenge and get through it with people. I knew how to listen. I knew how to be patient. I knew how to use people's strengths. I knew how to, you know, look past their weaknesses in order to get things done. But you understand when you're a leader, sometimes the best thing to do is to be a follower. You need to step back and you need to know when you're in the position of authority and when somebody else is. And whether or not you really trust that person, you have to show them the respect. You have to provide the amount of obedience so that way a certain amount of team cohesion can stick together. And that's what this team does throughout the series. Now, there are some episodes where they really butt heads, but hey, show me an organization where people who are friendly don't butt heads. So show me a family where people don't fight. What we need to understand is that, yeah, we ultimately die alone in most cases, but we live amongst men. And when we're facing something as big as the Galactic Empire, of all things, we need to understand that whether you like a person or not, when you have a common goal, you have to provide a certain amount of respect. That's how you get things done. Whether you want to go right and the person in charge of you wants to go left, you need to be able to provide them the amount of respect and you need to go into it with 100% because eventually that person might be following your lead and you're not going to want them to second guess you. You want to make sure that they're going in with the same amount of tenacity and fury and intention that you would provide to them. It's a sacrifice of the ego. It's how you make progress. It's how a team works and bonds and gets things done over time. The second point, know when to run. When the series starts, I mean, the rebellion isn't even really the rebellion. It's just a whole bunch of small cells. Everyone's kind of doing their own thing. Saw Gerrera's, you know, kind of a sadistic son of a bitch who's torturing people. Then you have some rebel cells that are, you know, fighting with a code of conduct. They don't torture prisoners and stuff. Everyone's kind of doing their own thing. The rebellion is not there yet. So you don't always have the opportunities to just go into open combat with the Empire. One of the biggest problems that Ezra as a character really encounters is he always wants to jump head first. He wants to die on every hill, so to speak. Every battle is going to be the battle where it's like, you know, just throw all your resources, all your men into it, despite the fact that you probably realize you're going to die. But for him, it's really more of an ego thing. The hardest thing to do is to run from a situation because it hurts your pride and it does seem like a loss. But something that you learn is that you can't fight in the big battle to really end things if you die in battles where you're never going to go further. I think this is really a life lesson because our egos really get in the way of things. We want to go ahead and save face. We want to go ahead and have complete victory. We want everyone to know that we're willing to go down swinging. Well, if you sacrifice your relationships, if you sacrifice all your resources, if you sacrifice a lot of other things and you get nothing out of it, but you were able to identify that you were probably going to get nothing out of it to begin with, was it worth it? Sometimes you know when to run and you don't know when to run. But when you get in those situations where it's like, I only have the option of running or completely losing in the situation, you shouldn't let your ego get in the way. That's how, in the show, people get killed sometimes. That's how people get injured. You could lose the entire war for the sake of wanting to win a battle that you're probably not going to win anyway. The author goes here and basically reiterates the same thing, saying some fights can't be won. It's a valuable skill to recognize when the best solution for survival or just for sanity is to turn the other direction. Kanan and Ezra had to flee Darth Vader in order to stay alive. He was too powerful. You're probably not facing Sith Lords on a regular basis, but you can apply this knowledge to fights on the internet of all things. It's usually a smart move to walk away. And sometimes one of the biggest shows of strength is restraint. And then sometimes you gotta punch a mofo, but I mean, that's a whole other thing. That's neither here nor there. Third, and I definitely apply this to my life, have multiple mentors. Ezra has Hera. Ezra has Kanan. Ezra has Rex. Ezra is, you know, he's the perfect person to be in a position of, I know eventually I'm going to be a leader because I'm a Jedi. People are gonna look up to me. I might as well have some of the best people at my disposal. Kanan eventually becomes a Jedi Knight, great expert. Hera becomes a commanding officer in the Rebellion, great mentor. Rex, veteran of the Clone Wars, great mentor. Even Zeb to a large degree, because you see Zeb mature more. He really kind of takes on like this father figure role to a lot of the others. But, you know, everyone says get one mentor. I say get a lot. Get as many people as you can. You need to be a lifelong student. That's something that Ezra doesn't really get in the show, but for Kanan, he definitely does. Kanan's always trying to learn from people. Kanan is the perfect leader because he's willing to say, I know I don't know a lot of things, so I'm willing to learn. And it's not until Ezra begins to learn that himself that he's really able to take in a lot of the lessons that he's eventually going to be able to apply and help fight the Empire. But, I mean, I've had to have mentors for many different things. You know, for a long time, I was trying to go a lot of things alone. Let me tell you, when you think that you're your best resource, you quickly begin to realize that that's not the case. Some of the best people I've met were old bosses I had, people I worked with. These are people that, you know, the relationship may have started professional, but then it turned into a friendship. And I know that when I need something, I can go to them and, you know, be vulnerable, be willing to, you know, be brutally honest about things and say, hey, I need help. Help me. You will need this throughout your entire life, whether you're 18 or 28 or you're 60 years old. I know people who are, you know, way up there in age who still consult their mentors because it's a lifelong relationship. Yeah, you will get to the point where you depend on them less, but you know that when you need them, you can go to them. Four, don't compromise who you are. And this is kind of stupid, but I think that this is something that we need to be reminded of sometimes. I'm just going to go ahead and read this verbatim because I can't really do it better myself. Like most droids we've met in the Star Wars universe, Chopper has a distinct personality. Kind of a smartass, my interjection. Continuing, it just so happens that his traits aren't always lovable. He grumbles, he's snarky, he's reluctant to help. We all know people like this. Interjection, that's me. Yeah, I'm a hard pill to swallow sometimes. Moving on. Some of us are people like this. Chopper may act gruff, but he saved the skins of his fellow crew members time and time again. He doesn't try and be cuter or friendlier, though, and that's okay. Don't change who you are for the sake of making a better impression upon others. Real friends will accept you, even if you're grumpy. I'm not saying, okay, so that's what they say. I'm not saying if you're an asshole, you should be a chronic asshole, but I think what this means is that, you know, don't suppress the big parts of yourself. You're going to find real friends and you're going to find a lot of phonies. Trust me. I've encountered more phonies than I'd like to admit. I've trusted a lot of people that my gut told me not to. I've had to let go of people I thought were friends because they didn't really accept me for who I really was. And when they got to learn more about me, they realized they didn't like me. If that's the type of friendship that you're getting into, I'm sorry, that's not a healthy one. A real friend is going to accept you during the shitty moments and the best moments. But once they see the real you, ultimately you know that you have somebody that you could depend on. That's a real friend. And lastly, point five, take pride in your work. Listen, I don't make a ton of money compared to a lot of my friends right now, but I love my job. I'm doing very well. I really am proud of what I'm doing. It's unconventional. The job of a social media coordinator for a newspaper didn't exist 10 years ago. I'm just telling you that. So, you know, there's no real idea other than like the neckbearded type of tech guy who just tweets all day stereotype that I have to deal with. But I deal with a lot of stuff for my job that extends beyond just social media work. And when you take pride in it, other people will see it. There were some people in the office place that really had no clue what I did, and then there were some that came out with preconceived notions, probably negative, but it wasn't that they were applying that towards me as a person. They were just kind of casting on the role because how else will they view it? That's how they've been conditioned. But I took pride in it. I show other people what I'm doing. I'm willing to answer their questions. I'm willing to show them how things get done. And I've gained the respect of a lot of people where I thought, oh, this probably isn't going to happen, but it did eventually, and those relationships got better. Because ultimately, if you're having a good time with what you're doing, whether professionally or personally, it's going to extend out to those around you. So, you know, that's it's kind of basic. But they take it and they really kind of stretch it out in their explanation. Take pride in your work. Sabine the Mandalorian, Sabine's knowledge of explosions goes beyond understanding how they work and how to use them effectively. She's also aware of how to position them and set them off in ways to create dazzling results. When she detonates the blast, she pauses, if the situation allows it, to admire her accomplishment. It's a good reminder to take pride in your work, and when you pour a lot of time and thought into a project, stand back and appreciate what you've done. I mean, what better feeling is there? And that could be said for a lot of people. Ezra, you know, he wants to be a Jedi Knight. That's what everyone expects him to be. But one of his greatest skills is thieving. Hera's a great pilot. She won't be a fighter. She's not really a combatant. She can fight, but she's a pilot. Everyone has these skills that if you just kind of pour yourself into it, allow yourself to be your most authentic self, regardless of the situation, that's going to lead to a lot of good results later on. So those were the five lessons from Star Wars Rebels. If you know more or less about this, totally let me know. But I'm so sad that the series, for me, is coming to a close at least. If you agreed with something, disagreed with something, had different thoughts on it, go ahead and let me know on Twitter. Let me know on Instagram, at HeyRemso, on all those platforms. As always, I'm Remso W. Martinez. I'll talk to you later. Like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it, like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. We got the rise.